Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Shira Sakharam, I've known for many years. I personally read her newsletter. I think it's the best newsletter from the Middle East. And she is a walking history, because 40 years ago, in 1967, she went to Israel, and she's been there for 40 years. It happened to be right at the Six-Day War, and then they had the Independence Day celebration. I've been in Israel for Independence Day. Everyone goes out in the streets, and they act just a little mashuga. Is that right, Shira Sakharam? A little crazy?
Well, it's completely Israel. It's not like anything else. You know, the soldiers and the people get out in the streets and they dance in circles, especially up in Jerusalem. It's a happy time, but it's not a like a bad time. They're not doing crazy things like, you know, the carnival.
But what I'm saying is they get so excited. I mean, it's a happening, is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
So you were talking about that first celebration just after the Western Wall was in Jewish hands for the first time in how long?
Since 70 A.D.
Wow.
Jerusalem came back into the hands of the Jewish people. That's a long, long time, 1900 some years.
So the euphoria must have been over the top at that time.
It was. And some of the things that people would say, I couldn't help but be excited about it, even though I knew it wasn't going to happen the way they thought. They were saying things like this: the Jewish people have now shown the Arabs that the Arabs can't win. So this is going to be the last war. These are the days of the Messiah. This is the last war. There's never going to be another war because Arabs know they can't win. And there were these little stickers that everybody had on their cars, and it said, Kol HaKavod LeTzahal, which means all the honor goes to the army. And I knew that... I knew that wasn't a very smart thing to say. And let me jump 6 years ahead in 1973 when the terrible Yom Kippur surprise war came against Israel. You didn't see any more all the honor to the army. The sign changed. The stickers were different. They said, Israel, trust in God. That was the big difference. But the euphoria lasted for 6 years. It lasted from 67 to 73 when the terrible Yom Kippur surprise war took, when the Arab countries attacked Israel.
Were you living there? I know you were living there, but were you there at the time of the 73 war?
I was not. My father had passed away, and so I was in the States with my family at that time. Now, when the war took place, I was absolutely stunned, as everybody was, because it was a complete surprise. And I wanted to get back there. I wanted to get back into Israel, but my family asked me that I'd stay a little bit longer with them. So I went back about 3 months later, and the country was completely different, Sid.
In what way?
People were depressed, stunned. From that time on, even violence in the country went up. And back in 1967, there were sometimes somebody break into a car and steal. But I mean, you never heard of of murder or violence. It just didn't happen. It was a remarkable. And I came from Dallas, where you couldn't even walk down the streets back in 1967 at night in certain parts of the city. But in Jerusalem, you could walk anywhere at any time. It was a really interesting change in culture. But 73 happened, and our country, Israel, started going downhill. It's never recovered since then.
Mm. Now, looking, remembering what Israel was like 40 years ago, and looking at Jerusalem, looking at Tel Aviv, would you have ever thought it would make that kind of transition?
No, it's completely impossible to figure how this has happened. Here is Israel, surrounded completely by those who want to destroy the country, and yet the economy booms. Skyscrapers are going up. The shekel, our money is stronger than the dollar. I mean, can you imagine?
Now listen, I wish all of my money was in shekels rather than dollars. I know what's going on with the Israeli shekel. With all the deal with Iran and all these nations, I mean, nothing has changed. It's still an impossible situation, and yet Israel is prospering.
It's a startup nation. It's a startup nation. It has more startups per a person than any country in the world. It's a remarkable sign to me that God has not left the Jewish people. I know that Jewish people are brilliant, but they're not that brilliant. I mean, this is amazing that this nation is growing. It is so much a higher standard of living than any nation around it, and yet it has to defend itself against total destruction every moment of every day.
Now, going back to the Yom Kippur War in 1973, I have heard many accounts of miraculous things that occurred for Israel to have won that war.
Oh, it is. It is. I think the war lasted 19 days, Syria was on its way into northern Galilee. The Jordanians actually stayed out of the war, that which was very smart of them, by the way. But Egypt attacked and came up to Sinai, and it could have gone either way. It could have gone either way. When you have those two large armies doing a pincher act against Israel, it is amazing and miraculous. There's many, many stories. There was one fellow that had that was in a tank going up the Golan Heights, and his unit, all the rest of the tanks were knocked out by the Syrians, and he took this tank and zigzagged it up the Golan Heights, and it was at night, so the Syrians thought it was several tanks. You know, they couldn't imagine that this is one tank. It was finally blown out. He found a couple of other tanks. Twice he changed tanks and went zigzagging all over the place, you know, with his tank, and knocking positions of the Syrians out. And he is today one of Israel's greatest heroes. I do not believe this man could have done this without the hand of God, because the Syrians were coming down the Golan Heights. They were ready to take over the Galilee. And you know what that would have been? That would have been a slaughter of all the Jewish people in the Galilee area, which did not happen.
To me, the greatest reality that our God is interested in us as individuals is the creation of modern-day Israel and the survival of modern-day Israel.
Yes.
I mean, there is no other explanation to why Israel exists. So that begs the question. Here you have Iran. Iran wants to nuke, it's very obvious, wants to nuke Israel. How do you live under that pressure? As a believer, I know how you live. But how does a non-believer live under that pressure?
I want you to know that Israelis are very, very fearful. They know what Iran is saying she's going to do. Iran, Ahmadinejad, is talking exactly like Hitler did, exactly. And back in Hitler's day, Israel, this is what Israel says, the nations did not take him seriously, and they're not taking Ahmadinejad seriously when he says he's going to wipe Israel out. And so there is great fear. There is great, great fear in Israel over this.
As a believer, you're obviously concerned. Do you believe he's going to nuke Israel?
Well, Israel is very tiny. So I don't see that God is going to let Ahmadinejad nuke Israel. I just don't see how that could happen, because it would knock the country out, you know, with the radiation.
You know, Shira, I'm much more concerned about the United States than Israel, because the Bible does talk about what happens to nations that divide the land of Israel. You know, we're out of time right now, but this week we're putting forward Project 77. If there's ever been a project close to God's heart, it's Project 77. We have obtained the names and addresses of 2 million Jewish families in the United States, and we are sending a copy of my book, They Thought for Themselves. This is a book that was birthed from a dream that I had. God came to me, and he said more Jewish people would come to know him through this book than anything I had ever done. And it's proven true. We have mailed over 600,000 so far, but we have 1,400,000 ready to go. Everyone that sends in a gift of $77, we will send 7 books to 7 Jewish people. These books are just, God is brilliant. It's something I would have never done, but God told me to do it. And a Jewish person will read one or more testimonies that will relate to them, from a Holocaust survivor to a PhD. And we are asking you to send in a gift of $77. And not only will we mail the 7 books, we'll send you a copy also and the names of the 7 people so that you can pray for God's greatest blessing, that they know the Messiah. Shira has put together a special CD for us called 4 Signs of the Last Days, in which there's the most horrific warfare, and most Christians don't even know these signs. It is mandatory. That's a bonus for everyone that joins Project 77. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.